Mr. Wessel will now begin the second round of questions with Mr. Holloway.
Mr. Holloway, numerous polls suggest the economy and job creation are the number one issue for Northeast Arkansas voters. What, if elected, will you do to bring good-paying jobs to Northeast Arkansas? And I want you to be specific about that. How do you attract new industry? How do you convince existing industry to expand?
Okay, so one of the biggest problems right now is our tax rate in the United States. I know this isn't a very popular notion, but we need to actually lower corporate tax rates in the United States and in our state alone. Because you need basically a zero corporate tax rate in the United States. That makes it friendly for businesses to come in. I mean, you look at the outsourcing that's going on. The big problem is the outsourcing. We can't compete with China. We can't compete with India. We can't compete with developing markets because we have almost one of the highest corporate tax rates in the world. Now, as far as industry is concerned, we need to focus on agricultural innovation. I mentioned hemp earlier. That's a textile. We need people to come in, and we need companies that are manufacturing, but we need people who are also processors. I mean, look at some of our agricultural industry, like the catfish processors. They're all going out of business, and they're having to import catfish from China just to process it. I mean, and so you're looking at one of these problems where we're losing industry still. And we need economic innovation. I mean, look at we could have wind energy, you know, solar energy. We could have, but we have corporate subsidies for basically oil and natural gas. Now, natural gas is fine, and we're doing that as long as it's regulated properly. But the problem is that the government once again thinks it needs to pick market winners and market losers. We need entrepreneurs to come in with excess capital, buy up these firms that are failing, turn them around, and get people working again. And that's going to be the free market. It's not going to be the government. I trust people. I trust the people of this country that they know how to spend their money and that they know how to invest it, not the government. And we need to lower the tax rate and let businesses be able to work in a less regulated environment.
Excellent. Thank you for the question. And he touched on some good points. And agriculture is key in the First District, obviously. From the federal perspective, what do we do to help empower businesses in the First District? Let me first talk about agriculture. He mentioned this. New innovations, further processing. Peanuts in Randolph County and Lawrence County. A new crop. It's doubled in acreage, tripled in acreage for year over year, I believe. We're going to see peanuts emerge in the First District of Arkansas, and that's great for our economy. There are a number of jobs associated with those two buying points that were put in recently, just early part of the spring. And as that grows, we'll see those jobs increase. But what role does the federal government play? Quite frankly, we're carrying too much debt, our taxes are too high, and our regulatory regime is entirely too strict. And so if we can take some action and show the private sector that we are getting serious about our debt, that will free up some investment capital. If we reduce that corporate tax rate, right now I believe we're the second highest corporate tax rate in the world. I think Japan, maybe Ireland, is higher than we are. Bring that down to a manageable level. President Obama's level is 25%. I'm comfortable with that. And then, again, the regulatory regime is just entirely too strict. And what we need to do is just take the heavy boot of regulation off the throat of these entrepreneurs, and they will put that capital to work. And the First District of Arkansas is a great location. We've got a lot of transportation infrastructure here. Our energy costs are relatively low. Our taxes are relatively low. And so from the federal standpoint, those three things we have to work very hard on to incentivize that capital, investment capital, in the free marketplace.
Well, Mr. Wessel, I think that, first of all, we go back to education. We work with the two-year schools and the vocational schools in the First District and have them work with them to increase their research development wings of their facilities. I've said more than once that I would act as a federal member of their Chamber of Commerce. If the mayor of Wynn came to me and said, we're courting this business to come into town, would you reach out to them? I would actually assist and reach out and try to bring them in. I want to see federal dollars going into our two-year schools and even our four-year colleges to increase research development so we can prepare a workforce to go to work. The joy of any family, of you and me and others, should be to see our grandchildren grow up right before our eyes. If we send our kids off to school and they go to, they travel 4 hours to Arkansas State, or they travel 6 hours to Fayetteville, and then they meet somebody, marry, they go off, they're not going to come back home a lot of times. So if we work in the local areas and try to develop educational processes and then recruit companies to come in to each of those areas, that brings jobs to this district and up and down the district along that area. Another thing that we could do on a federal level is increase the depreciation allowance so that, you know, one of the things that you have a tax break for folks that make over $250,000, $300,000, a lot of times they put that money in their pocket. But if they have a depreciation break where they have incentive to go buy equipment, then they'll buy equipment, write that off, and then they'll hire somebody to use that equipment. And that we need to increase the depreciation rates on new equipment and in increasing the size of businesses. Give tax breaks to companies that are coming in and in bringing work here, as opposed to the current congressman voted to give tax breaks to companies that ship jobs overseas and do that, not do that. I mean, we need no tax breaks for shipping jobs overseas. And another thing is the Thank president.
You. Thank you, Mr.
I believe your question is, what can we do to attract new industry and help the old industries expand, correct? I feel like a broken record, so I do apologize. But again, I'm saying cut spending so that we can lower taxes. We cut spending, we can lower taxes so that these businessmen can come in and create brand new jobs as well as expand the old industries. I would also love to see us completely get rid of an income tax and go to something like a fare tax or a consumption tax and abolish the IRS. Can you imagine how many millions of dollars businessmen spend every year just getting their taxes done? Let's change over to something like that. I think that if we allow our businesses to, if we can privatize Social Security, I'm not talking about tomorrow, I'm talking about down the road. Social Security is broke. It's going broke. It's going down. It's headed towards a cliff. So let's do something now. So I think that we need to look at privatizing Social Security to give our businessmen a break. I think that individuals could be responsible for their own unemployment insurance, and that's something that, again, the businessmen wouldn't have to provide. We need to get back to being responsible for ourselves and not letting other people be responsible for us. I think that that's sort of a lost art here in America, and it's really sad. And I think that we need to reduce regulations and let the free market work.
You have 1 minute, Mr. Holloway.
And so there's a great example. Just yesterday I was driving through Cotton Plant, Arkansas. Man, I mean, it looks like a bomb hit that city. I mean, there's nothing there. I mean, and these used to be our vibrant farm communities. You drive down Highway 49. I mean, where are they? Well, it's all the small farms. All the small farmers are gone. I mean, that's what people used to do as a subsistence lifestyle and employment, was their farms. I mean, we need more Americans owning land. Arkansans need to own their own land, and Arkansans need to get back to homesteading. I mean, this is the kind of economy that we live in. You need to build your own job. You need to be an entrepreneur. I mean, we need more excess capital for investment. But, I mean, in the end, I mean, we also need innovation. Look at, I mean, a great American, George Washington Carver. Congressman was talking about peanuts. You know, that's a great example. All the things that we can do with processing our agricultural commodities. And we're going to grow commodities here. We need to process them here in Arkansas.
Mr. Smith.
Well, we talked a little bit about higher education, but I want to talk about the education system as a whole. For a government that's meant to be of the people, by the people, and for the people, I think most of us would agree that education is a key element in our democracy. Congressman, do you have any thoughts on how we can improve our education system overall and to better prepare our children for their future and the future of our country?
Sure. You know, one of the things I'd like to see is more local control, less federal control for schools. Last week, I held a school nutrition summit. It was attended by 10 superintendents from around the district and some parents, and our 10 panelists that actually testified before our bipartisan committee that we put together. And there were a number of superintendents from schools around the district. One of the chief complaints that they had was the federal regulations that they were forced to implement, but without any funding. So again, we hear this term of unfunded mandate that comes up, and it comes up all the time in our schools. And the question that we got is, why doesn't Washington recognize that we know our students? And so we were talking about nutrition, but really in the broader sense, we're talking about every day dealing with these kids, whether it be nutrition or whether it be their education. And so, quite frankly, I think our local school boards, under the direction of the state, not the federal government, are in a much better position to address the needs of their students than some bureaucrat in Washington that has no idea who those students are and what their particular needs are. And that seemed to be the common theme throughout from these 10 superintendents that testified before this panel. But that seems to be the consistent thought with regard to any federal regulations as it applies to education, is they want more local control. They want state oversight, but local control. And I think if we can achieve that, we're in a much better position to educate our young people and meet their needs.
Well, I agree that local control is very important, and I agree that continued federal regulation is not always a benefit. However, the schools enjoy getting the federal money that they get, and so there are the federal government's going to watch how the money is spent. But I believe that certainly it's handled better on a state level. You see, each of the state's schools are working on the Common Core curriculum, which is much like the Uniform Commercial Code. Each state sets its own curriculum, but they set it up to match because it's the states working with each other, and it's not necessarily the federal government doing it. It's the state government doing it, and I'm very concerned about the No Child Left Behind law. I mean, my wife is an educator as well, and I meet very few classroom teachers that are very happy with the No Child Left Behind law. And so I think that would be a problem, be something to have a relook at as well. And so I think it would improve education for our students as opposed to hamper education if we set that aside and repealed the No Child Left Behind law and let the schools work together, the states work together, as in the Common Core curriculum.
Yes, we're a homeschooling family, so this is interesting. You might get a different perspective from me. We chose to homeschool for many different reasons, but one of them is that I'm more interested in fostering a love of learning than a love of test taking, and I'm afraid that with federal control over our local schools, how else are they going to measure their success but with standardized testing? And that's just not fair. We need our kids to learn to love learning and not taking these standardized tests. I completely agree with Representative Crawford here, and we need more local control. I'm a states rights girl myself, and I think that let's just abolish the federal government having any sort of control over our schools and give that control back to the states. Different states have different needs. And Washington may not have Arkansans' needs in their, our own interest. I also would love to see something like a voucher system where, let's say that each child is allocated $6,500 for the year. Well, you know what? Those schools are going to be competing over getting those students, and competition leads to a better quality product. You're going to want to have the school with the nicer facilities and the better teachers to attract more students and to attract that money through some sort of voucher program. We have so many administrative costs here on the federal level, so many administrative costs here on the state level, the county level, your local levels. The bulk of our education dollars are going to the administration and not to our children. Our children get the leftovers. I don't want children to get the leftovers. I want them to get what they deserve. So let's just take the federal government out of it and give that control back to the states so that more money can go to our children.
And so, if Americans, people in the First District really want to know what's going on behind our school system right now, read the book by John Taylor Gatto called Dumbing Us Down. He was a New York City school teacher. I mean, he was the best. He kept getting awards after awards for being a great teacher. And he resigned as his position as a teacher on the editorial page of the New York Times and said, I'm resigning as a school teacher because I don't want to mutilate and hurt kids anymore, because that's what our educational system is doing to our children. I mean, you look at the mess that our educational system is in and what it's doing to kids. It's not preparing anybody for anything. It's preparing people for standardized tests. And then it's preparing people to go to college, but it's not preparing them for any real skills. I mean, they're taking out, most of the BOTEC programs and the technical programs that, are real life skills kids need to learn. I mean, there's no hands-on training. They're indoors all the time. They're being taught the managerial style of how to think. They're just being taught how to take orders. They're not being taught to be American, stand up and think for themselves and build their own businesses and the real skills that they need in life to be successful individuals. I mean, that's the real problem. I mean, we need good teachers, and all the good teachers are being run out of the schools, and what you're left are with the people who didn't really want to be there to begin with, and they don't even like kids, and I don't even know why they're teaching, I mean, I had to go through the public school system, let me tell you. I mean, that was a traumatizing event in my life. And higher education is just as bad, almost. But, we really need reform in our educational system. And if the public school system can't do it, there's charter schools, those are doing really well in New York City and Harlem. We've seen a lot of success with those. I mean, this is a really big issue we need to talk about because, we don't need children hating learning and hating school. We need them to love learning.
1 minute. Just to follow up, I think what we've done is really done a disservice to our kids with the notion that you have to go to college to be a success. And that's unfortunate. And this gets back to the point that you raised about how do we attract new businesses to the First District of Arkansas. And it really comes through workforce education. There are young people that leave high school that don't necessarily need to go to college. Or if they do, they need to go to a junior college. But they don't need to be sold this bill of goods that they have to have a four-year degree, bachelor's degree or above, or they're not successful. Because I know a whole lot of electricians, carpenters, plumbers, and so on that make very good money. And the point I'm trying to make is what we need to do is create the kind of curriculum that identifies and helps these students that for a variety of reasons need to be in the workforce quickly, right after high school. So partnering with our junior colleges and our VOTECs and so on, and not be locked into this idea that success is defined solely by a four-year degree.